Thank you so much, worship team. Finally, nice weather. Everybody coming out in t-shirts and that, something to give praise to God for. You lot are mad silent. Well, go on. Hear a pin drop in that in there. All right, cool. I'm just going to open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your goodness. We just thank you for your mercy for allowing us to see another day, Lord. We're not promised it. We sometimes take it for granted as it's a given, Lord God, Father. But truly, the psalmist wrote that our lives is but a shadow. It's here today, but gone tomorrow, Lord God. So thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to see today. And now, Lord, this word that you're going to give to your children, I'm just asking that you would breathe upon it, Lord God, Father, that you would bring it to life in everybody's heart, Lord God. And Father, for your name's sake, that you will not allow it to return to you void, Lord Jesus. Bring clarity, God. You're going to have to interpret it so that everybody's able to understand it, Lord God. Daddy, I'm asking that you will do the work, Lord. I'll speak, Lord God, but you speak through me, Lord God, because I don't want to speak anything that's of my own, Lord God. It has to be of you. I have nothing to offer, but you have everything to offer, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just really would like to thank, I don't think they're hearing it, like Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, wherever they are, just really like to say it out loud, my gratefulness really for the belief that they've put in me to allow me to come here and to minister the gospel, for Brother Kevin as well, for asking me to do this, and also for my wonderful wife that's always praying. She leads by an example with a godly character, and it challenges me every day to get closer to God, because I can't be behind my wife. My wife can't be leading me to God, can she? I'm called to be the head of the home, so yeah, thank you so much. I love you. All right, now the soppiness is over. We can get into this. wow. So we're in Vision Month, right? Cool. And I was like, God, all right, what do you want me to speak about vision? Because to be honest, I don't even think that I should qualify to speak on this topic, because God knows my prayer life for the past month has been, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Where do I go, Lord God? Like, begging God for vision. And I'm like, you're such a joker, Lord God. You call me to speak on vision. Cool. But as I was praying, this little statement just dropped to my heart. And I want to share this statement with you. Call it the title of this brief message. Which is, dare to follow God's vision for your life. Dare. Will you dare to follow God's vision for your life? Now, it's a given, isn't it? If you're going to follow God's vision for your life, you absolutely need the Holy Spirit. You absolutely need faith. You can't do it without those two things. They're essential, aren't they? But it takes a brave person to follow God's will for their life, to follow God's vision. You need to have courage at the same time. It takes faith, it takes the Holy Spirit, but you need courage to follow the vision for God for your life. You can't just do it willy-nilly. This Christian life, following the vision that God has for you, it's not for the weak-hearted. If that's what you think, give it up. I'll tell you that now. It's not for the weak-hearted. You need courage. And the key thing is that you need courage to follow God's vision, not Richard's vision, not your vision, not the world's vision, not what looks good. You need courage to follow God's vision for your life. You need God's vision. And sometimes to the point, I'll be honest, like, as I said, I've been praying, God, give me a vision, God, give me a vision, God, give me a vision, God, give me a vision. And when God showed me the vision, I was like, God, that's not the vision. God, that's not the vision. God, that can't be the vision. God, that can't be the vision. Like, we pray for it so much, and then he drops it, and then you don't even believe it. It's like, God, like, do you know who I am? Do you not know my weaknesses? Do you not know what I can do and what I can't do? But God knows it. God knows it. He knows the beginning, where we started off, where we were born, and he knows the end, where we're all going to pass away one day and go to be with glory with Jesus. And he knows what it is that we can do, and he knows what it is that we can't do. So when he drops that vision, it's not like God's like, oh, I've accidentally dropped that vision on Richard's head. He knows what he's doing. He absolutely knows what he's doing. And part of it is that we need courage. Can't express it enough. We need the courage to be able to follow what it is that God places on our hearts. The vision that God shows us. We need that courage. And do you know, in Joshua, from chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, in that short verses from 6 to 9, it is quoted 3 times. God states it. Be of courage. God states it 3 times. God only needs to say something once, and it's done. God states it 3 times. Look, he said, let there be light. Once, poof, light. That was it. Let them be a man, Adam. Poof, Adam came. God doesn't need to speak a thing twice and then it happens. But yet he tells it 3 times. Be of courage. Be of courage. Didn't I tell you? Be of courage. Why? Because God wants us to be of courage. In this world where things try to stamp it out, when we start seeing, you know what, this has gone wrong, that has gone wrong. But God has said that. God says it loud and clear. Be of courage. Be of courage. Be of courage. And I was looking and I was like, all right, God. Wow, okay. So you want us to be a people that are of courage, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, but also full of courage. And I'm reminded that I was somewhere last week, and God just opened this magnificent opportunity that, I'll be honest, I don't know why. It's like I just got scared, just got shook. And I was like, Lord, are you really telling me to speak my faith, or is it me just trying to make this opportunity? Like, this guy just opened up to me, was telling me, oh, I've broken up with my girlfriend, I've got a 5-year-old daughter, I just really want to fix up my life, da, da, da. Perfect opportunity to go, let me introduce you to Jesus. But I flunked it. I don't even know why. I might have dropped in there, yeah, I'll pray for you, you know. But and I was like, God wants us to be courageous, man. To speak, if the brother gets up and laughs at us and says, you're a fool to believe in Jesus, so what? It's working for me. And it's worked from 2,000 years ago. Before then, it's still working now. If this world was to go on for 1,000 years, Jesus' name would still be getting the praise and glory. If I'm foolish for that, I'm foolish for that. But that's what God wants us to do. That's the kind of children that he wants us to be. But for some reason, I don't even know why. And God, I'm asking in the midst of your children to forgive me for my fear, for shutting my mouth, for not even grabbing that opportunity to share you with that person. I went quiet. And I was looking in the Bible, and God led me to read about Moses. Because we all speak about Moses. We love the story of Moses. Like, I think every child in it grow up listening to the Moses story in it. But what you need to remember, it's not just the story. I remember watching the cartoons of Moses and seeing him in front of the sea with his plank and plant in the sea and like, wow, as a child. But it's actually real life stuff. This stuff actually happened. It's not just a story. It actually happened. It actually happened. And I was reading Moses, and if you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Say it, Exodus chapter 2. And I'll just give a quick little backlog of it. But basically, the Israelites were in Egypt and they were in slavery. and the Egyptians weren't nice bosses. You get me? They didn't give them 5-minute breaks, working break, or you can go out and have a fag break or whatever. It weren't like that. You get me? They were whipping them, they were working them hard to do what it was that they were slaves, innit? So whatever slaves do, that's what they were doing. And then they issued a decree. Because the Israelites were growing and advancing in numbers in that country, Pharaoh issued a decree to say, you know what? All children, all the firstborn children, all the children, like, kill them. Anytime that the Israelites are pregnant with children, kill them. Just kill them. But we read here that you can read it in Exodus in your own time. But Moses was placed in a basket and plunked in the sea or whatever it was. And he ended up in Pharaoh's quarters. And he grew up in the palace. Wow. Man like Moses grew up in the palace, you know. Can you imagine growing up in Buckingham Palace? Like, just to bring it there, innit? But anyway, he grew up in the palace because that was the world power of the day. You got to understand this. Egypt was where it was at. America, they had all the power now, but you got to imagine Egypt was where it was at them times. And he grew up there with all the benefits of a prince in that town. But we read in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went to his brethren and he looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you prince and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of the Midian, and he sat down by a well. So here we got it where Moses sees the burden of the people and he sees the Egyptian slave driver that's just probably cracking a whip on them unjustly. And Moses becomes enraged and he's like, that's my countryman, man. That's my people. He's enraged. So he says he looks this way, he looks that way, and I can't imagine, he must have been like some secret assassin or something, like just kills the guy and buries him in sand. And I always found it weird, and I'm still asking God, like, how did the other guy see him do it? Because it says that he looked this way, he looked that way, and no one was about. But somehow, some way, the Hebrew guy says, do you intend to kill me the way that you've killed that guy there? Huh? Like, and I'm thinking, Moses, sinful favor, yeah. But Moses was doing, like, the Israelites a favor in that sense. He was trying to fight on their behalf. And this guy was throwing it back on his face. And he says that, you know what? Pharaoh's going to kill me when he finds out. And sure enough, Pharaoh's like, he wants to kill him. So Moses has no other option but to flee and to leave Egypt. Leave the point of being a prince in that town. And he leaves and he runs off. And we know that he runs to one next place in Midian, I think it says. For however long, he's there for approximately maybe 40 years. Tending sheeps. Is this it? Goes from being a prince to tending sheeps. Is this the vision for Moses' life? Tending sheeps. Had all the benefits of being a prince. It's like, I don't even know what it's like, man. Being in Buckingham Palace to then shining shoes all of a sudden. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what a calm down. Had all the benefits. And now you're just surviving. But God is good. And we read in Exodus chapter 3, 8 to 11. And I would really encourage you lot to read Exodus 2 and Exodus chapter 3 in your own personal time. because I'm just reading in and getting bits. But so Exodus chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. And this is God speaking. Let me read from verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. There's a lot of ites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10, which we want to look at. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And I want to look at this from another angle, because you know what? Let's say 40 plus years, Moses was running out of Egypt for his life because they wanted to kill him. Now God comes to him and says, look, I've heard the cries of my people, and I'm sending you back to Egypt to get them out of there. It's like I can imagine Moses saying, wrong person. Didn't you see 40 years ago? They want to kill me. Look, if I go to Pharaoh and go, you probably kill me before I get to go. Like, it's not that. You're sending the wrong person there. But God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. Do you not think for Moses to actually accept what God has said and to go, it took not only faith, not only the Holy Spirit, but courage. Courage to go back to the place that was, in essence, a death threat to him. Courage. That's what it takes for us when God gives us a vision. Courage. Courage. Imagine, let's just look at it. So in other words, God was saying to Moses to go back to the very place where the people wanted to kill him as an 80 plus year old man with a one-line sermon, let my people go. That's it. No long prayer thing. Just God said, and let my people go. That's it. Could only take a vision of God for any man to go back and do that. Anyone to go back and do that. We need to have courage like that. We really need to have courage like that. If we read in the book of Acts, it's an amazing book, but we read in the book of Acts, Peter and John, who are going around and doing miracles, man, just doing magnificent miracles and things like that. And they get arrested. Now, the religious men and all of that, they arrest them, they put them to trial. Again, I'll encourage you to go and read it in Acts chapter 4. Three or four, yeah, I encourage you to go and read it. But they're doing wonderful miracles they're not even just doing it in their own strength, they're doing it in the name of the Lord, they're doing it in Jesus Christ's name. The same name that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of them, man, put to death. I can imagine these Sadducees, we can't just shut this name up. Like, he's dead, we crucify him, and he's still healing people today. You can see them, and they're going about doing these miracles, and they arrest Peter and John, and they bring them before trial. And they say, you know what? We want you to stop preaching in that name. Stop doing it in that name. And Peter and John go, well, ain't it right for us to fear God instead of you lot? But we read in a prayer that they prayed in Acts chapter 4, verse 27. Praise God. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. And I'm going to read it from the Message version, because I've become a fan of the Message. It's wow, wow, wow. Pricks the heart, boy. Anyway, Acts chapter 4, verse 27. I'm reading from the Message version. So if yours sounds a bit different, don't get shook. Okay, verse 27. For in fact, they did meet Herod and Pontius Pilate with the nations and peoples, even Israel, met in this very city to plot against your holy son, Jesus, the one you made Messiah, to carry out the plans you long ago set in motion. And now they're at it again. Take care of their threats and give your servants fearless confidence. And give your servants fearless confidence in preaching your message as you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders done in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So even the disciples had to stand up and pray for confidence, had to stand up and pray for courage. What do you think we need to do? We need to go in overtime praying for courage then. Honestly, these people walked with Jesus, see Jesus do the miracles. Like, they didn't just have to hear about it. They saw it. They lived it. They did it. They even done it. And they had to pray for courage. How about us? How much more us? So when God gives us a vision, a God-given vision, not one that we manipulate and, oh, I want to own lots of cars and things like that. I was really intrigued. This is kind of random, but it is, isn't it? But I was speaking to my mom today and things like that, and she was just like, you know, I was talking to your brother. My mom's an African, by the way. In case some of you are baffled, like, what accent's that? But I was talking to your brother, and I was telling him, what are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? And your brother was like, I went down to one area. They had big gates, big house, big everything. I want that. I want that. And my mom was like, Emmanuel, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What will it profit you? But it's true, isn't it? Because sometimes we get caught up with what the media throws at us, the titles throw at us, but that's not success. Listen, Apostle Paul, amazing guy. I need to do it again, but me and Pastor Deji was going through looking at Apostle Paul, and I love what Pastor Deji says. He just goes, he's a big boy. Like, I think that's the phrase, isn't it? Apostle Paul is a big boy in the faith. But imagine this, though. Follow me, like, if success was determined by the world, yeah, Apostle Paul would not fall into the category. Stoned how many times? Thrown into prison how many times? People walking away from him how many times? And the bulk of his ministry is him tied in prison, writing letters. That's how it ends. But you know, he was a success in God's eyes because he fulfilled the vision for his life. That's what success is. Fulfilling the vision that God has set you for your life. That's it. Don't matter if you end up having a car, having the title, sir, or whatever, fulfilling the vision that God has set for your life, your success. That's why Paul's able to say, look, in Richard's terms, I've run my race. I've run the good race, man. And now I'm praying for you, Lord, that you can run the race as well. Does that sound like a person that's like, man, I got stoned. Man, I'm in prison. Man, that doesn't sound like a man that's depressed. That sounds like a man, look, I've run the race. I've done it. This was the vision that God set to me, and I've done it, man. I've done it. And God sets us a vision, and he tells us, look, go do it. Stop the complaining, stop the whinging, stop the worrying. Go do it. That's it. Spend too many time procrastinating, worrying. God, what if this flops? God sent us anyway. He knew how it's going to end. It's like we're standing there telling God, God is going to flop. So what? Man knows. He knows. He knows how it's going to end in the end. He knows. Through courage, David defeated Goliath through courage, while the other army guys were sat down at a distance saying, oh man, here comes Goliath again, coming to defeat us again, coming to mock us again. David was like, who is this guy that comes against the armies of the Lord? Who's this uncircumcised Philistine guy? Who is this guy? Courage. Peter walked on water because he had the courage to ask God, look, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. Courage. While the other disciples sat back, probably shivering, shaking. Peter was like, if it's you and your God, tell me to come on the water. And he walked on it. Courage. Moses was able to lead the children of Israel out of a 400 years bondage and take them out of that place, cross waters, do many miracles that God done through him. Courage. And Joshua was able to take the relay baton, if you want to call it, from Moses, and take the children of Israel into the promised land because of courage. 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 We need courage. Yeah, we need faith. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God on our side, which he says he is with us. We need courage. Ain't going to go nowhere without courage, because when the first obstacle comes at us, we're going to get shook and think, that's it. I can't do it. Courage. So I end this. Asking, pleading, begging, and I'm praying this for myself. Because God knows, last week showed me, if I thought I was anywhere, I'm nowhere in this. I'm a top offender. Top offender of not having courage, of keeping my mouth shut when I know I should speak. Of when I see all the madness going on in the world and amongst young people, not even just young people, adults. And when I see my friends back in my area still caught in the same stupidness that they were doing before I left. And I know that the answer is Jesus, and I shut my mouth and don't say nothing. I need courage as well. So as you pray this for yourselves, beg you pray this for me as well. Because I need it. But whatever the vision that it is that God places on your heart, I beg you, along with that, pray for courage. Pray for courage. We need courage as well. God said it so many times to Joshua, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Did I not say be of good courage? Did I not say be of good courage? Oh God, that only needs to speak something once and it happens. Spoke it three times. So I end with a prayer. Father God, I've spoken your word. And I've put myself up. And you know my heart, Lord God. And you know your children's heart, most importantly. But Father, I'm praying as a result of your word, Lord God, that you would let everybody in here, Lord God, have the courage to fulfill the vision that it is you have set on their life, Lord God. The vision that you have set on Victory Outreach International, Lord God. Give us the courage to run and to fulfill that. The vision that you set Victory Outreach Manchester, Lord God. Let us have the courage to run and to step out and do that as well, Lord God, Father, what you're calling us to do. And individually in our lives, Lord God, I pray that you will give us the courage that is needed to run out, Lord God, and do what it is that you want us to do, Lord God. Father, not that we may boast of our strength, that we may say, look how we've done it, but Lord God, so that your name alone may be glorified, Lord God, in the streets, Lord God, and wherever it is that we go, that your name, do it for your name's sake alone, Lord God. Do it for your glory alone, Lord. Lord God, take care of the rest of this service, Lord God. Anoint Damien as he comes up to preach his message, the word that you've placed on his heart. I thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.